The word extinct might bring to mind dinosaurs and dodo birds or saber-toothed cats and woolly mammoths. But animals aren't the only natural thing at high risk of extinction in the wild. Languages are too. It's estimated that of the approximately 7,000 languages worldwide, 90% are spoken by less than 100,000 people, and some have as few as a single speaker remaining. Language death occurs when the last remaining native speaker of a language passes away. But how does it get to the point where a language's continued existence is reliant on a single person? How do languages die or go extinct? Let's investigate why this happens and why you should care about it. I'm Dr. Erica Brzozowski, and this is Other Words.
Other Words.
First things first. Languages that have speakers who learn the language as their native tongue are known as living languages or modern languages. I'm speaking in one right now, English, and maybe you know one of the thousands of other languages alive and well in the 21st century. On the opposite end of the spectrum of linguistic life, well, it's a little more moribund. However, it's not as stark as the difference between life and death. Like endangered species, languages have stages of dying that may or may not be reversible. A dead language is one that, despite no native speakers, does have second language speakers or is used in written form. For example, Latin hasn't been en vogue since the fall of Rome in 476 CE, but plenty of people, that's relative, can speak Latin fluently, like my middle school Latin teacher. While not spoken natively, it is used for liturgical and academic purposes. Other dead languages include Sanskrit, Sumerian, ancient Greek, and Gothic. A dormant language is a type of dead language that, while lacking native speakers, serves as a symbol of ethnic identity to a particular community. Eyak is a dormant Nadene language historically spoken by the Dahokneu people who reside in South Central Alaska. The last native speaker, Marie Smith Jones, passed away in 2008. But two non-Eyak linguists, a Frenchman named Guillaume Ledouy, who had learned about the language online at age 12 and taught himself from Eyak language materials, and University of Alaska professor emeritus Michael Kraus, spearheaded efforts to pass Eyak on to the next generation. While it does remain dormant, Ledouy's example showed the community that it was indeed possible to revitalize Eyak as a living, spoken language. Dead languages tend to maintain their dead or dormant status without native speakers, but there's one noteworthy exception. Hebrew was long considered a dead language, only used in liturgy and literature from around the 2nd century CE until major revitalization efforts beginning in the late 1800s. Now there are over 5 million native speakers and 9 million speakers total, an incredible comeback in language revival. An extinct language is one with no remaining speakers or written use. Unlike the genetic resurrection in Jurassic Park, an extinct language is unlikely to ever be resurrected from any surviving tidbits if they even exist. This might be because of lack of interest or, more likely, lack of resources. Gaelic, the Celtic language of the Gauls, went extinct in the 3rd century CE, and because of no written resources or content, is gone forever. But at least two Celtic languages have defied the odds. Both Cornish of Cornwall and Manx of the Isle of Man have, based on language revitalization efforts, gotten their UNESCO language endangerment classification upgraded from extinct to critically endangered. It makes sense that when there aren't any more speakers, a language gets lost. But how does it get to that point? Language endangerment is generally the result of language shift, which, as the name suggests, refers to the process in which a population changes or shifts from using one language to using another. Intergenerational language shift happens when the language a parent generation speaks does not get passed down to the child generation, who instead acquires another language. This is very common in children of immigrants, where the children learn the language of the majority population around them instead of the language of the homeland. For example, my mother grew up speaking Taiwanese at home, and she was also required to learn the majority language, Mandarin, in school. Since leaving Taiwan, she only speaks Taiwanese with her siblings, and I never learned it at all, having grown up in the US surrounded by English. Though we do code switch a bit between English and Mandarin, as a family, we speak primarily English. That's language shift at the individual level. But when it happens to an entire community, a language can be lost. Language maintenance requires intergenerational transmission. So when the intergenerational transmission stops, then the speakers have fully shifted to another language. In northern Chile, the Kunza language of the indigenous Lekanante people of the Atacama Desert became replaced by Spanish in all sectors due to language repression, where speakers were not just encouraged to speak Spanish, but actively discouraged and even punished for speaking Kunza. Political factors like governmental policies in language education can and have actively suppressed minority languages in favor of the majority dominant language. Without institutional support, marginalized languages have few resources to keep educational initiatives going. On the Isle of Man, Manx had been replaced by English because of changes in language attitude. At the height of tourism, islanders began raising their children in English for fear that their language was useless in economic mobility, and it held negative associations of poverty and lack of education. Language shift can also be caused by speech community migration. The move from rural to urban areas takes people out of their small speech communities, where they're forced to adopt the dominant language in order to fit in both socially and in terms of job prospects. Besides language shift, the other main reason for language endangerment is rapid speaker death, which occurs through a calamity such as genocide, disease, or a natural environmental disaster. In our globalized world, everyone speaking the same language and understanding each other might sound pretty great, like the beginning of a utopia. And a lot of people don't find value in learning a language that only a handful of other people know. But the accelerated rate of language loss the world is currently undergoing is a blow to us all. Research suggests that around 3,000 of the world's languages might disappear in the next 100 years, which amounts to about one every 2 weeks, a language a fortnight. This is catastrophic to our cultural diversity. When a language is lost, cultural traditions tied to that language also disappear, from songs to remedies to local ecological and geographical knowledge. For instance, the Seri of Sonora, Mexico have a whole vocabulary and agricultural knowledge around eelgrass, which is the only grain from the sea that is known to be used as a human food source. Without the Seri, that knowledge would disappear. Language loss can also be seen as a crisis of social identity, as who we are is grounded in the language we speak. And there are physical ramifications as well. Research suggests that the maintenance and continued use of indigenous languages has a positive impact on health, and that there's a strong correlation between language revitalization efforts and improved health outcomes in indigenous communities. Maintaining and revitalizing languages is key to understanding the rich, diverse human experience on Earth in terms of both history and culture. Until her death in 2022 at age 93, ethnographer Cristina Calderon, the last native speaker of Yagan, an indigenous language of southern Chile with no written form, dedicated herself to the preservation of her language. Her work resulted in audio recordings, language workshops, and even transcribed Yagan stories with the underlying goal of one day revitalizing the language. She knew that even if a language dies, it's still possible to be reborn in generations down the line. Speakers who learn the language as their native tongue are known as But two non-EEC linguists, a Frenchman named Guillaume Ledouis.